Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome back to the Des Bishop Podcast. It's Monday evening here in Dublin, and I'm very excited to bring to you our guest for this week, Damian Clark, who is a great Aussie comic that has lived in Ireland for a lot of his comedy career. He is married to a lovely Dublin woman, and I've known Damo since 2002. And he disappeared to the UK for a while, but he's back living in Dublin. And we had a great chat. And I have to say that somebody dropped out on me. I won't say who, but somebody dropped out on me. And at the last minute, I hit Damo for a chat. And, you know, I didn't really prep, you know, because, I mean, I know Damo a long time. And I'm so happy to have stumbled upon our chat, which I think you need to seriously stick around for. Because Damo last year in Edinburgh had a hit show called Grand Theft Damo, which was all about his phone getting robbed and pictures of people starting to show up in his iCloud. And the journey he made to finding this guy is super interesting. The show is called Grand Theft Damo. And halfway through the chat, I discovered that he's done this. And he explains all about it. And it's super interesting. And then led to myself and Damo coming up with a very novel Snapchat idea, which I will let you find out, which you can hear about at the end of the podcast, which may become a thing. So anyway, this is just very light and very fun chat with Damo. Two foreigners who have lived in Ireland a lot of their lives, largely chatting about our fish out of water experiences and our lives as comics. So I hope you enjoy, ladies and gentlemen, Damian Clark. It's funny, I for some reason I got so in the habit of calling you Damo Clark that today I forgot that you were Damian Clark professionally. Oh, yeah. I don't know, myself and Aiden just always call you Damo. And, you know, do many of the Irish comics call you Damo or Damian?
Yeah, all of them. I think, I don't know who calls me Damian anymore. Not even my mum calls me Damo.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but then I guess I just thought when I started on stage, yeah, I was just like Damien, and then so not that there's a difference, but I thought Damian Clark on stage, and then people call me Dame off stage, but it doesn't really matter what.
Oh, you know. So were you Damo originally?
No, I was Damien, I guess.
Always Damien.
Well, you know,
right?
like when I first started, I'd be Damian Clark on the listings, but then you know how no one ever would remember your name at the start anyway.
Yeah.
So then I was just like, oh, just Damien is fine, and then it was like, oh, that's three syllables, I can't remember that. How about Damo?
Damo.
No, but people were just, you know, because your mates would be hosting or whatever and bring you on as Damo, so.
Oh, they would?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say.
It does, like, either way, because I don't find it much of a difference, because do you know what's weird about Australia and Ireland have both got the things where they
do the shortening thing,
and do the O. And, like, because some people go, oh, that, they go, oh, you got the Damo as soon as you moved to Dublin. I was like, well, no, Australia, the same thing, Davo, Steve-O. It must be one of those.
Yeah, but did they Damo you in Australia?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I just feel like Damo is just a more popular Dublin thing.
Yeah, Damo.
I feel like Damo is like a real Dublin name, you know?
Yeah, Damo. It's weird, like in England sometimes if they see it written down, Damo, D-A-M-O, they think Damo, they call me Damo. And I was like, I'm not a washing detergent. Like it's short for.
Is that a washing detergent?
And no, I don't. Sounds like it. Damo.
Oh, Damo, Damo. Yeah, I thought you were saying demo, like a demo tape.
Oh, demo tape. Yeah, I've had that as well. So I guess if some people, like, everyone in Ireland is used to, oh, Damo, that's definitely, it's like Davo. You would think, oh, is that David? You know, of course it is.
Yeah.
Good name.
But Damo, people know it's Damien though, right?
Yeah.
Like we all call Damien Dempsey, Damo Dempsey.
Yeah, Damo Dempsey. Yeah. You know it's Damien. And yeah. I, if I moved to Italian, it'd be Damiano, which is,
oh, Damiano. Yeah, Damiano. I grew up with a lot of Damianos, actually.
Oh, yeah, did you?
Yeah, but we didn't call them Damo. We called them Damiano.
Yeah. Just an extra few in there. Damiano.
Yeah, I don't know. You don't feel like you don't need to shorten it when you can actually like perform in the middle of the name, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
like once Damiano. You're in Damiano, yeah, because it kind of required effort. So anyway, just to give a setting to our listeners, we're sitting on South William Street in my car.
as is often the case with my podcast, in the car. We're not driving around, though, because I have a manual transmission now, so I can't do my usual driving technique. But we're on South William Street because Damo is in the International later. Sunday night. New material night is supposed to be.
That's right. That's what I'll be up to.
Are you doing new material?
Yeah, always. Sometimes to the detriment of everybody in the audience.
Yeah, yeah. So it's new material night.
I love, like, what's better than doing stuff you've never done before and it lands?
It's the best feeling ever.
Love it.
That's the drug. It's directly sort of opposite of the feeling you have when you do it the second time and the energy of new material is gone.
Yep.
And it dies in its hole and you think, fuck, I thought that was brilliant.
What the, how did I say it the first time?
Yeah, how did I say it? How did I say it the last time?
Sometimes I audio record my gigs on my phone, but you don't listen back because that's just painful.
So I know, that's so, I know, I have so many recordings of things that I didn't listen back to. Yeah. So anyway, so I just want to explain, well, I want you to explain really. You know, because we've similar-ish lives in that you're a foreigner, you're an Aussie, but you have spent a lot of your life in Ireland and a lot of your comedy career in Ireland. So explain to me, because I don't remember, because it's been so long since I asked you, how did you end up in Ireland in the first place?
Oh, yeah. Well, it was mad because I remember one of the first emails I sent to get gigs was probably to you. In 2002.
Yeah, I still would have been that guy.
Yeah, and that was because to be honest, I think it was word of mouth from comedy circuit is small.
But you were gigging already in Australia.
So I'd been gigging already, and by that stage as well, I just met Sandra, who I'm married to, from Dublin.
Yeah, she was so that's the real around. Reason. Why,
that's
yeah,
the
yeah.
real reason.
Yeah,
and then because
so you fell in love with an Irish woman in Australia
instantly when I saw her, and we were in a nightclub, and like you're very loud. But when I sort of heard that she had an Irish twang, you know, as a young guy, I was like, well, I'm moving to Ireland then.
No, yeah. Was it in Perth?
It was in Melbourne.
Oh, it was in Melbourne.
Cause, yeah, because I grew up in Perth and moved to Melbourne because that's where the comedy was at.
Yeah, sure. That's where the 3 gigs a week were.
Yeah. Yeah. Because in Perth, like my first gig was in 96. But then I think the first year I did maybe 3 5-minute. Second year, maybe 5 10-minute, you know, it was very few. There was not
sure,
much.
Sure.
And, you know, you'd be excited, you'd go, man, that did all right tonight. I've got another gig in 3 months. And you'd be all excited.
Yeah.
But momentum was gone. I'm going to try a whole new, and then that might not work. And you go, oh, I'll try and remember that until next time. But, you start, I never wrote anything down, so you just sort of forget. But then I was like, I'm going to hit the big smoke, man. I'm going east.
So you went to Melbourne.
Melbourne, and within a year, I think I met Sandra in, I did an open spot. The first open spot I did in Melbourne was at the Espy, which is a legendary club back then in St Kilda.
Oh, in St Kilda, sure. I mean, rappers, a lot of people still play there, yeah.
Yeah. And that was in the Sunday afternoon. And did okay. Like, I did okay for an open spot.
But the Sunday afternoon's a big Irish scene
right.
in St
yeah.
Kilda.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
And then straight in. So, and then Alyssa Hawke was in the audience, and she was another open spot. She ran an open mic on Wednesday. So, and I was like, no way. This is the big smoke. I did one spot. I've got another spot. It's unpaid, but like in Australia, all the beer is free, you know. So I was like, brilliant. So I went there on Wednesday. I got sacked from my job that evening because I forgot to check the roster and I didn't know I was supposed to be washing dishes in a pub. This is my new job. And so I did 5 minutes on how I lost that job. And then the barman goes, so it was funny because it was spur of the moment. I was like, I just lost my job today. And it was like, ugh.
Yeah.
Then the barman goes, and I get free drink. And he goes, is that true? And I went, yeah, I lost my job today. And he goes, do you want to work here? I was like, yeah. He goes, you ever worked in a bar before? He's like, that's easy. And so, and then I worked there. So I did the gigs on the Wednesday and then we'd go back to work, you know, like at the bar.
Yeah.
After my set. And then I met Sandra in that bar while I was at work. So if it wasn't for that first open mic spot in Melbourne, then
So one thing led to another.
Yeah, so that was a long...
No, but that's funny. It's a series of events.
Yeah.
So thank God you lost your job.
I know, yeah.
Because you might not have met her.
I know. Yeah.
That is amazing.
Because if I just did my regular whatever shtick was back then, the guy wouldn't have said, do you want to work
Yeah,
here?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So getting sacked.
So it was meant to be.
It was meant to be that I was terrible at all jobs.
So had you not lost that job, you would not be living in Ireland
I'd probably still be washing dishes in Melbourne. In a
well, pub. You might be Adam Hills. You might be a multimillionaire.
Okay, be quiet, Des. Yep,
sorry,
that's
man.
True.
No,
I'm
just saying, like,
I know.
No guarantee it would have ended up for the, you know, for the worse.
Yeah.
It could have ended up for the better.
No, but it was, yeah, you're damn right. And then
So you met Sandra and you guys fell in love, right?
Yeah.
And then what happened?
And then
in terms of coming to Ireland.
And then the next year I was like, well, she had to move back because you only had the 1 year visa.
She was on a working holiday visa.
Yeah.
She didn't want to pick fruit.
Yeah, no, she was like, I'm not picking fruit. Fucked her.
I love you, so, but I don't love you enough to pick fruit to stay another year.
I don't even know what a kiwi fruit is. So then she, it was funny because in Melbourne at the time, and it might still be, you work up, you do your new hour, and then you go to the Edinburgh Fringe. That's sort of like the...
Oh, that was the vibe. Comedy. That was the thing, yeah.
So I was like, how about this? Edinburgh's not too far from Dublin. I'll go to Dublin. So the first time I came to Zoo of Europe, straight to Dublin. I was here for a couple of months.
What year was that?
That was 2002.
Oh, yeah, 2002, sorry, yeah.
And then we would have met because my first gig here was with you. I just said, I told the truth in the email, which is usually bullshit. I go, oh, I've been doing this many gigs. I've had a couple of paid things, blah, 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 blah. And you went, cool, do you want to host? Because you were away
really?
Or something. Yeah.
Ah, I guess I was just, you might have just hit me like at the minute where I realized, shit, I'm under pressure. You know, like some.
Yeah. And this was before your ruptures. This was before the first work experience.
Yes, of course. I know exactly. It was just, yeah, it was just.
Because I was there that weekend and I've never seen anything like that before. Because, like, you know, we were mates, we were gigging together and then one episode went out.
Oh, yeah.
And then that was the double. It was so, like, queue down the, still haven't seen it, queue all the way down the street and then the double. So we were like, we're doing a double in the same building.
Oh, that was an impromptu decision to just say, fuck it, we got to put some of these people downstairs. Yeah.
Open one.
That was 2004.
Yeah.
Yeah, winter of 2004. Yeah, it was life changing.
It was full on.
But come on, we're not going to talk about my life.
Oh, yeah. No, but that's just because the reason I brought that up was just not to blow smoke up your ass, but because my first gig here was doing the Inter and hosting it. Every other club in Ireland was, oh, I'm always hosting the Inter. It must be good.
Oh, shit.
Because
that was just a fluke.
Yeah.
Because literally the only reason, because I don't remember that specifically, but the only reason that could have happened was you just like hit me at a time where I was just like fucking stuck,
yeah.
You know? And I was just like, shit, just host. Yeah, which would have been rare. And like John Moyne's brother was doing the door. So there was like a lot of responsibility. Yeah. There was a lot of responsibility to hosting.
Yeah.
And so I just gave it to you on that day. Well, that was just, there you go.
Because I remember I had no material around, but which is good because when you're hosting, you're warming in as well.
But I think hosting, particularly in those days, suited you anyway, right? You're just full of personality and quick and
then
congenial.
And you just talked about what you'd noticed and then that would develop into bits that you'd...
Sure. I mean, that's how I developed everything, was hosting the international. Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Yeah. So 2002. God, time flies, man. 14 years ago.
Yeah, jeepers. So that was back and forth. And the big shock was because I was used to every gig getting free beer, I went to the bar afterwards. I remember that, and I'd be like, Guinness, thanks. And he'd be like, 3.40. And he'd be like, oh, no.
I'm one of the...
That was me. And he goes, ah, are you really? That's 3.40. And I was like, oh, okay. And at first I thought, oh, maybe it wasn't that funny or whatever. And everyone knows, no, everyone pays for drink. And that's when I realized the difference. Like, if people got free drink for doing stand-up, there wouldn't be a queue at the bar. There'd be a queue for the stage. Everyone would be like, I'll do 5 minutes for a free drink.
Of course you would. Yeah, plus, like, just Barry Murphy and Ian Coppinger alone would have bankrupted the International by now.
Hands
so
down, yeah.
Not a chance.
They'd
have
a Jameson truck outside. The drip.
But do you think, I mean, I feel like, even though you're a proper Aussie and your Aussie accent and you've been gone for a while, which we'll talk about in a minute, but I feel like that your formative professional years are very much in Ireland, no?
Oh, yeah, I would say 100%. Because, you know, you develop, and what a place, like, what I'm just fortunate that Sandra was Irish, because what a place to develop, like, develop your skill, hanging out, and like, you know, such a small community. So we'd all hang out and talk and drink
in those days.
Yeah, and in fact, remember, like, all the comedians would sit at the front table.
So you were there for that?
Yeah, you'd all be right there. And that was before, because that didn't happen after you were on.
That was a controversial decision that I made, which was, guys, like literally the place got so busy. I was like, guys, there's eight. Like,
stairwell.
Yeah, we can't sit around a table. But it was also kind of weird. Like, don't get me wrong, I love those early days in the cellar, you know, the actual cellar, Wednesday nights, when, you know, all the comics would be there. And there was something challenging about that.
Yeah. But you know, people just wouldn't be just zipping in and out. Everyone's out for the whole night. Like, all the comics would go and watch the whole show.
Yes.
And then afterwards you could talk and just... We didn't talk about comedy that much. Not as much as doing, like break down your set. It would just be like, that was funny or whatever.
Yeah,
or
but the only bad... You know what the bad thing was about everybody sitting there was comics tended to focus on them or respond to them, particularly if they were having a shit show. They almost would... get solace from the sort of, or get support from the guys at the side, because the guys at the side would be really enjoying them dying.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so
I know, and then dying on your ass and having to sit there with the table all night.
Fucking
and
shit.
And then people, you know, people are looking at you because you're sitting at the front and you have to laugh at everyone else's gags even though you're dying inside.
Yeah, you're dying inside. But anyway, for many reasons, mostly being I just wanted another table, we stopped doing the thing. And I remember comedians complained about that at the time. But now nobody. Now comedians in any of the nights don't sit at that front table.
No. And I think it is just weird. And because people just like going in and out and, you know, not having to watch everything all the time.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, there's a lot more shows than there used to be. So, like, often guys have to go somewhere else and, you know, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
It's just things have
changed.
Plus,
Wednesday.
Honestly, like, so many, there were so few comedians back then, and very few of them had kids or lives. Mm. So nowadays, like, people just have to go home to their family. You know, like, it was just a different time. You know, yeah. It's kind of like, it's funny that I forgot about that. It's funny that that passes. Mind you, we still haven't got a mic in there.
Well, yeah, but that'd ruin everything. But then now, also, that's why, because before when I was doing open spots in Australia, and it was closing some gigs and that, but you'd still sort of stick it to your set. But we're in Ireland, it was so much. There was a lot of storytelling in that. So
yeah.
Really,
oh, did you notice a distinct difference?
Yeah.
Because the Americans really always say that to me. They feel there's a difference.
Mm. And so you can expand on what you're doing and you find out who you are on stage more. Because you've got you've got 20 minutes to be like, eh, just see where this goes. And then things would just extend naturally if they needed to.
Do you think that was Ireland in general or just that sort of those gigs that you were doing in Dublin?
Probably that. Yeah, probably the... Because out of all the places that have been, like, that's the, sort of the most lax and storytelling-y of everywhere of gigs.
No, because the Americans always say that to me when I'm in New York. It's like, yeah, you guys kind of tell stories.
Mm.
Like it's a different classification of comedy. But I don't really notice. I mean, I'm just an Irish comedian with a New York accent, so that's just the way that it is. But I guess you did notice that when you got here, huh?
Yeah, and there's jokes in my story. What are you saying? You know?
Yeah. It's almost
they were
like
laughing.
It's like dismissive. Yeah.
Yeah. They laughed. They clapped. You know, and they got the point.
But did you when I started in Ireland, and I just my comedy was at that in those early days was very much like fish out of water. Things I noticed about Ireland, but I had lived here for a long time. And just used all my, all the things I experienced and turned them into comedy. Mm. Did you find as much inspiration in your fish out of water experience in Ireland or not?
I did, yeah, at first, of course.
Yeah.
And then, and you know what's funny? There's a joke that I still do, and it's like, it started out by, one of my first gags actually was just like the noise that crows make. Crows, you know, crows make in the trees in Australia, just going, ow, ow, ow. And like, oh, shut up. And then I sort of didn't really do it anymore. And then I came to Dublin and then, there was a pigeon that lived in the wall. And I've still done this bit on stage heaps of times. And then so then that brought back the old bit I used to do. And then they were sort of gelled together. So you do from this one to this bit. So some of, and then I went to Brighton and then the seagulls everywhere. And suddenly
you got a bit about birds.
Yes, and there's a whole bit about birds. And I noticed a lot of that happened with bits that I would just sort of throw out in Australia and as ideas or whatever. And then just went nowhere. I just never followed them up. Almost became like what I'd noticed about home. Because people would go, oh yeah, what's the difference between here and there?
Yeah,
and you go, I've talked about that, and then they actually became alive more so here because I had something to reference it with.
Oh yeah, because you almost find humor in the explaining too, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
And you're going, oh, what's the difference between this and that? And then some things make sense, obviously, and some things don't. Like having January and February warm, like having summer in January and February, is a great idea, you know, because you're broke. You know, that's supposed to be like the most depressing time of the year. And that's because it's winter, you've got no money. You don't need money if it's summer because you're wearing shorts. But on the flip side, Christmas doesn't feel right when it's warm. You need it to be cold.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't
see
Christmas lights when it gets dark at 11 at night.
Yeah.
So you just have to say, okay,
well, that's what happens when Europeans take all their bloody winter customs and drop them into the Southern Hemisphere.
I know. They're like, guys, why is Frosty in the shop window? We don't have snow.
Yeah.
We don't know what it is. But yeah, so there was things that I would do. But then...
You find more inspiration from explaining Australia or more inspiration from... Like what you
from
were noticing
the differences
here,
of
from what you were noticing here.
Yeah, and also, and I like the drinking. How everything was drink, and you would have noticed that as you stopped drinking. Which is like the hardest.
No, but I noticed when I came here first too. Like there was just immediately a lot more booze around me. You know, at 14 years old, and that had been up to 14 years old.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I don't mean my drinking. I mean, like, just family functions and things that I was being brought to by my cousins and, you know, the people that were looking after me in Ireland. It was just like, holy shit. Like, I was just around booze suddenly all the time. So I did notice that was an immediate difference.
Yeah.
So you were an adult, though.
Yeah. And then because drinking wasn't around as much, but only because of the driving thing. Because, you know, like America, Australia's massive, so we'd have to drive everywhere. So yeah. when I lived in Perth and gigged there, I didn't drink at all, because then you'd be trapped and you can't get home.
Right, I got you. Oh, so you mean in the scene in general, just...
Yeah, yeah. So I moved to Melbourne, there's like trams and you can walk and, you know, so yeah. the drinking started. And then I came to Ireland and then the city's smaller in Dublin.
Yeah.
And they drink everywhere. So like, there's no way I ever need to not drink, because you can be drunk on stage and you can walk home.
Yeah. Whatever. And Dublin's so just a fun city.
It's a fun city. And you know, even not drinking, you can go and you can just... It's just fun, like,
yeah, it's a fun city. I mean, and everybody feels it when they come. So I mean, my favorite joke of yours. I mean, maybe you still do it, so I don't want to fuck up your jokes, but
no,
my favorite joke of yours from that early period was the different accents. Like, so in Ireland, you could go 20 minutes up the road in your car, get out of the car, and they have a complete different accent.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas in fucking Australia. So that
five
was,
days drive. Yeah.
Yeah. But I can't remember exactly what accent you used in Ireland.
Oh, I used to go, like, you'd go, I'd do a Dublin, you're Fuckernacker or something like that.
Yeah.
And then I'd do a Jerry Mallon, I'd try and do like a West, like, for pleasure, do a bit of, and then, you're bleeding langer, like,
oh, you do the Cork, yeah.
You do Cork, and then, so I pretty much would go East, West, like, South, North.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah. You know, so like you drive a certain distance, boom, you get out of a car, complete different accent.
Yeah.
Australia.
And, yeah. And then, yeah, you drive for 5 days in a straight line, get out of the car. G'day, mate. Exactly the same.
Exactly the same.
Is there a shark in the water? Yeah, there's still a shark in the water. And just the
yeah, but that used to fucking... Because it's... But it, whatever. I mean, I don't want to get all academic, but it is... It fucking fascinates me how that happened. You know? Yeah. I mean, in Australia, I get it. It's colonization, you know, like, basically the people are all coming from similar place. But, how the hell did that happen in Ireland, that Drogheda can have a completely different accent than Dublin? That's fucking wild.
Yeah, just say it. Like, and I guess that's just sort of like the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years of just staying there or just developing something.
Yeah,
and...
the linguistics of that is pretty fascinating.
Yeah, man, Ireland's tiny. I love that, but that's what makes it so good, because it sums up. It's yeah, look, when you can do the accents like you or anyone puts on an accent of a certain region.
Yeah.
It's just like straight away, you're like, there's jokes in the tiny differences.
Yeah, there's
even.
Jokes in the differences. Well, I mean, comedy often.
Oh, yeah.
Is the difference, you know, between. Yeah, differences. Yeah, I mean, forget, you know, whatever. I mean, so Ireland does throw up a lot of that. But yeah, I mean, I think the Irish personality suits storytelling comedy anyway.
Yeah. And one thing I really noticed is how much Irish people hate talking about their job or what they do. And because, you know, like in Australia, you'd be walking past some guy, would be like painting a fence, whatever, and he's like, you just say something stupid like, looking good, mate. And then he'd be like, oh, mate, look at the trim on that or whatever, you know. But here, if you go, oh, and then I'd notice that because, you know, you just know he's used to doing that. You're like, hey, mate, nice doorway. He's like, don't talk to me. You know, that no one wants to be at work because they're all hung over to bits. I noticed that straight away. You're going, oh, okay, don't talk to people about their work, because you're like, hey, how was today? Like, I'd be generally interested. And they'd be like, ah, sure, will you? You know, everyone's so don't talk. Work is only a means to get the money, to get the booze money.
Well, it's funny that you say that. That's a cultural thing, you know, because, like, I remember when I first went to Australia, I remember being slightly annoyed or just, like, it was just rubbing me up the wrong way, that natural positivity. That was just out there amongst people, just like, oh, yeah, you know, just like, I don't know, there was something kind of positive about it. Mm. Just a natural vernacular that was just a bit happy.
Yeah.
And it was rubbing me up the wrong way, because I was going, this is fake in my head, you know, because I wasn't used to it. But it's funny, you came here with your natural sort of just like chirpiness. And people were like, nah.
People just think, like, even last night I got off stage and they went, you're on coke, are you? And I was like, no.
Really?
I'm not on coke. Why, have you got some? No, okay. No, but yeah, so people just think it must be an act.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, but you're generally an upbeat guy also. But I did notice that when I went to Australia, that it's just a bit more sort of positive. Irish people are just a bit, I mean, it's just a cultural thing of like, I fuck off, or, you know, like making fun of people straight away.
I love that. But then that's how you can tell if people, that's why everyone loves Irish people. That's one of the reasons. Because, you know, if only you and your really good mates, well, you'll be able to slag them off, insult them, stuff like that. With an Irish person, you'll get that quicker, I think, because they're messing with you. And so you're like, oh, we're mates straight away.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And that's a great thing. And I mean, I've done jokes about that too, about like, because I noticed that when I went back to the States this time to live, because in my mind, every time I go back normally, I'm just going to visit. But this time I was like, fuck it, I'm going to try living here for a while. But the lack of that got to me, and I was like, ugh, I'm not into this.
Because almost, like, yeah, it is like what you say about in Australia. If people are too friendly, like, what's the deal here?
Yeah, I just wasn't into, you know, like, so there's just less crack. And I used to hate when people would say you're no crack, because what they really mean is you're sober.
Yeah.
But when I got to America, I was like, fuck, these people are no crack. I mean, my family are good because they're all like dysfunctional Irish Americans. So they have like a sort of a self-hatred. So, you know, we all rip on each other. But outside that circle, it's like everything, yeah. Take everything so goddamn literally.
Yeah, and if you see a good thing, like Irish people do, I do it because I probably could live in here, is slagging yourself off. Like if you get off stage or just anything, just like, oh, if you say something bad about, oh, that was horrible or whatever, then people would be like, yeah, you're socked, or, you know, go along with it. Instead of, yeah, in America or even Australia, you'd be like, nah, mate, don't worry about it. You're all right. You're like, no, man, I was just
fucking around.
I'm just fucking around.
I don't need your empathy or your sympathy, whatever.
You know, because I think, when everyone's low about, like, people, that's the thing about Ireland, like, you can't make it look like you're doing well, you know? Because Irish people work really hard outside of Ireland. I mean, they built New York, for goodness sake, most of America, in Australia as well. Actually, buildings, and they can take pride in their work, but not in Ireland. Don't enjoy your job in Ireland.
Well, yeah, I mean, but I also think Irish people just aren't good at taking compliments, so that's why.
Yeah.
So now, so you guys got married, right?
Yeah.
When did you get married?
2012.
And did you get married because you loved each other or you needed
a visa? Oh, yeah. Bit of both. No, we were together 11 years and we went, it was about time. But we sent out invites like 2 years early because wherever we get married, people are going to have to travel, you know?
Yeah.
They have to. And to be honest, it's such a beautiful place and a lot of my Australian family wanted an excuse to come over if they hadn't been
already. Right.
So we picked a spot in Athlone just on the lake, just because, and Sam's from Dublin, we're like, hey, a bit of countryside or whatnot.
No, you got married in the Midlands.
Right in the middle, right in the heart of it.
What was that place called?
The Wineport Lodge. Big up to the Wineport.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, maybe, man, maybe a jetty.
You turned into an influencer.
Oh, right.
You're an influencer now. You're dropping, place names. Wineport Lodge, such a nice time.
Oh, yeah, maybe they'll just be like, hey, do another free
weekend.
Yeah,
free weekend. Just
renew our vows.
Oh, so you got married in Athlone in the Wineport Lodge.
Oh, it was great, yep. And then we got a boat, went out of the Sean's bar and all the pub crawl in Athlone and everyone on the boat back again.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so all like a lot of our families met for the first time. So big Irish side, big Australian side. I had Canadians and Americans as well. And then it was, mate, what a piss up. So it was sort of like, it was about a week long thing, I guess.
Yeah.
It's great because everyone's coming over and they're not going to come over for a day or two.
But you guys were already living in the UK then, right?
Yeah, we'd moved across. So yeah, so this is the first time living back because we just moved back at the end of last year.
Yeah, I only just found that out.
Oh, yeah, cool. Because London is great, but then sort of got in with all the clubs and got an agent. And I was like, oh man, you can live anywhere now, and just
fly back and forth. Now, did you be honest? Did you move back to Ireland because you wanted to move back, or she wanted to move back?
I wanted to.
Really?
Yeah. But well, Sandra was even like, well, see, that's the thing. The beauty of what we do is, I don't miss London because I'm there all the time.
Yeah, there all the time. Yeah,
and I'll get the best of everything. So, but with Sandy, when she wants to go, like, we'll just plan a little trip over. So we just do that. So when I'm gigging there or whatever, we'll just have a few days off. We can go back and forth. But, you know, I'm all over. It doesn't matter where we base ourselves because we gig. We just go where the work is. We just go where the clubs are.
Because you got pretty connected there, right? I mean, over the years I'd be over there and, like, I'd meet more and more guys that knew you. I mean, you definitely got settled there, didn't you?
Yeah, it was great. Like, there's no clubs that I don't think I... Yeah, I'm in with all the places there. I'm in with all the... Yeah. It's great. It's all sorts. So it went to plan.
And I guess jumping on a plane is not that different to getting on a train, really.
Yeah, and like a lot of the time, if it's not London, then it's cheaper and quicker from Dublin, believe it or not, at the moment, than a train, because trains in and out of London is just like insane. They just charge what they want. Can be a tenner one day. Oh no, it's £130. Yeah, like, hang on a second. I was standing on a train. How can that space of me sitting next to the bin by the door on a train be worth £130?
Yeah, but do you feel like it's worth going over there now because of the euro and everything?
Well, not as much. It makes you question, well, is it worth going over for that much? Because it's dropped now.
Yeah, it's dropped.
So I just do my favourite clubs, which is what we should be doing anyway.
Yeah.
Which is cool. And also, if you want to tip off free train travel, not that you'd ever need it, but just take a bit of paper and write out a service on it with sticky tape, stick it on the toilet door, lock yourself in there.
Is that real or just
a bit? Yeah, totally. No, I've never done that on stage. That's my little secret.
That's your little secret? Yeah. Have you actually done that?
Yeah. But the only danger is getting out at the stop just in case the conductors are waiting for you. But so far, so good.
So far, so good.
So far, so good. Yeah. Although you can't do that on a plane. That's the only. That's my next thing to figure out.
Now, let me ask you this, because I remember you and Andrew Stanley did I Dare You, which was a TV show on RT2, right?
Yeah,
or TV3.
No, yeah. RT2, yeah.
Yeah. You know, at that time, did you think like, oh, shit, here we go, it's about to pop, or you just thought we're just doing a little TV show?
We just thought we were doing a little TV show, but then after that went out and there was talks of a second series, we went, brilliant. This is like something out of Alan Partridge.
Yeah, we're made.
And then a book deal came up because so we thought, brilliant. And then a new executive producer came in. You know what that happens. And then all the TV shows that the original guy that was there that we were working with.
Yeah.
So he dropped all of his shows.
Kevin Linehan, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
And then, and so that was all dropped, which was a shame because this is before Twitter and all that.
Yeah, what year was that you did that?
2006, 2007.
2006?
Yeah, like 10 years ago. Can you believe it?
Fuck, man. I was still thinking that was like 6 years ago.
Yeah.
God damn it. That was 10 years ago?
Yeah.
So I Dare You was like good fun. So it was like a kind of a daring people show, and then you had some sketches and shit.
Yeah,
like
that. So I mean, I had a bloody great time. So we did that, and then we toured off that a couple of times. And then...
I thought then, I remember that time thinking like, oh yeah, it's going to pop. Yeah. And I thought you deserved, you know, like I thought you deserved it for the hard work and the talent that you had. And then, but as is often the case, it just like, it comes and it goes, and then
we were so lucky to get it because we just happened out of nowhere. We weren't even looking for telly. They just saw us at the Inter one night doing a preview of the show live, and they went TV, brilliant,
right?
And then RT went like within a month or two, it just happened like so quick, and then so as quick as it came, it went So it was like oh, but I mean that sort of opened up the doors of like other stuff. So then I was like the token Aussie. From then on, I was the token Aussie guy on. If they needed a panel show guest or something like that.
Oh, right, yeah.
Get the Aussie on radio TV.
It didn't just like, you didn't get just thrust back into anonymity.
Didn't fizzle out. It definitely plateaued. Like the graph of my career went up.
Yeah.
Like I've got there's this quote that's like, on the cusp of stardom. See Damon now, he's on the cusp of stardom. Like this cusp has gone for about 15 years. How big is this cusp? I was so close.
How would you describe your career? It's been a cusp.
It's been a cusp. I've been right there. I've been so close. you know that big that selfie.
What
that
the fuck is a cusp?
You know that selfie. I don't know. I think it's like, you know when you, if you're like a part Scorpio, part Sagittarius.
Oh, that's the cusp. That spot is the cusp.
Yes, yeah, so I think that's what the. This tabloid, whatever, said it was. They were like, oh, this guy's cusping it, mate. He's going to be huge. But yeah, you remember that selfie of like that Ellen and that took of Bradley Cooper and that?
Yeah.
I'm not the Liz Taylor at the back. Just like,
just like a little photo bomber.
Just going, oh, nearly.
No, but I think that's cool. And I think it's interesting to talk about because, you know, well, like I had it in the States where like 2005. I did the Aspen Comedy Festival on HBO On Demand. Well, it was HBO. I always play it down, but it was HBO. But it didn't go out on main HBO. It went out on HBO Comedy and HBO On Demand. And they followed me around. It was called The Comics Climb. And it was like, this guy is trying to break into the States.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was kind of rubbish, you know. And it went nowhere. But it was like that thing of like, oh, shit, it's about to happen. And I had loads of meetings in L.A. afterwards because they didn't watch it. They were just like, oh, that's the guy that was being followed around by the cameras. Nice. But then it just kind of, it went for nothing. So I've had that experience too in a different context of like, oh shit, it's about to go down, and then it's nothing.
Yeah, and it was good timing the way that because I'd already sort of like the Irish comedy scene, thanks to the Inter, I was doing any gigs that were anywhere in Ireland, but it was just enough to, and I was flying back and forth to the UK anyway doing open spots.
Yeah, so back then you were just sort of. It's funny, you were on TV in Ireland, but you were only just an open spot in the UK trying to establish yourself.
Yeah, but it was cool because I was coming from a place where I was getting the odd telly thing here and there, and I was writing for Republic of Telly and on Republic of Telly.
Oh, you were writing for them?
Yeah. Don't worry, guys, if you like...
It's still going.
Some of the...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Stuff made it on. Some of the funniest I've made it on. You know what happens when you write for, like, you know, you're writing a thousand jokes and then like two make it. But then they were good. You're like, I'm glad they picked those. You know,
I'm writing with James at the moment, by the way.
Oh, cool. Nice one.
Yeah.
Carter,
yeah.
Man, if it wasn't for him, because he had an idea of going, because he knew me and that from the circuit, and he goes,
I got to move because this is this guy's spot.
Okay.
Damn it. All right. I was parked in a driveway, folks. So hold on. Give me 2 seconds.
I hate these new parking brakes, man.
So I was parked in a spot. Now our audience will begin to hear the beeping of my seatbelt, which has not been buckled because I am still. I refuse to stop this interview despite the fact that we have had to move our car from our interviewing spot.
I haven't got my seatbelt on either.
So you were saying about James Carter.
Oh, yeah, he goes. Do you know what would be funny? You and Coppers interviewing drunk people.
Oh, that's right. And that was a big...
brilliant. And that was...
I remember that was a big viral at the time, if there was such a thing as a viral, but I just remember that going around.
Yeah, it went nuts. For me, it went nuts. And then it was so good, because then I was just known as the guy that was in Coppers, or the nightclub guy, because then we did a few others. And that was even more dangerous, because anywhere you went, you'd be like, you got to drink with this dude. I was like,
really?
Town. Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah,
and I could get get into Coppers anytime past the queue, because they're like, here he comes, get in there.
And do you ever think if I Dare You had been out a little bit later in the days of virals, that perhaps it would have been? Do you think
maybe you never?
Perhaps
yeah,
it would have been, but like ahead of its time, because when you look at, I mean, the Republic of Telly was going a while before the Rubber Bandits video went out, and then that was like the first major success of like. Viral stuff from the Republic of Telly.
Huge. Yeah, I think a clip like Coppers or whatever might have made it sort of Irishy viral. And then
Irishy viral.
Yeah, and then you see, yeah, and the Bandits were like just like internationally, ba boom.
Yeah. So did you ever, you never got like a big telly break in the UK though, right?
No. I don't know if you're those talking heads things, you know, where you're like, what was that celebrity wearing? You know,
but then... Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like,
look at this cat falling over. I'm good at them. Really good
you're
at those
You're
great
guys. At them, just like doing a reaction.
Yeah, like a talking head. And then, the same thing, had a couple of meetings, everything that. But then also, when you're not well known enough yet, you've got to fit into a little, you know, it's like, what are you? So you'd be the American Irish. I'd be like the Aussie... mental or whatever, I don't know.
Yeah, and of course you're not as unique over there, because there's fucking tons of Aussies, right?
So yeah, so you just gotta find
you were literally the
voice.
Only Aussie here.
Yeah, which was great for me, but that also makes it good in the way that, like you were saying before, hey, you've got to just create your own market. So you've just got to get that good that no one can ignore you.
Which I agree is great. Like, that's one of the things I've been loving about being back in New York, is like, you gotta be better. You know, not that I didn't think I was good, but you got to be better, because you got to stand out. It's more competitive. And also, you can't just rely on you being the guy, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You're that guy. So you're not just the one Aussie in Dublin. You're just one of many Aussies, and you got to be a sickly good comic.
Yeah. And as much as you love saying, oh, look what I've noticed about Ireland, and it just going crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. I love it. And Irish people love it. But.
You got to do stuff everywhere else.
There's a big world out there. Yeah. And honestly, I don't know if there's any race of people that likes local, you know, like local jokes about themselves more than the Irish.
I love it.
Yeah, I don't think the English love it as much, do you?
Yeah, maybe not. Or like, maybe like localized, but yeah, not as much as here. I guess because this is a smaller island mentality in a way.
Yeah.
And there's something about, well, it's almost the crack, is like what they would be doing with their mates in a conversation in the pub is like what you're or, you know, making fun of them, making fun of yourself. And it's like all comedy, well, all, a lot of it, a lot of what I do anyway is like, you're talking about something that, have you noticed? Have you noticed this? And then if you say something and everyone notices it, well, boom.
Yeah, so what I do is I'm just going to pull in here.
All right.
We'll be fine. I've it's not the first or the last time that I've pulled in here. So now we're outside the International. People will be able to pass. You can get this wheel as close as possible.
Beautiful. And, look at that. Look at that. Double yellow line, people. This is
This is dangerous hardcore stuff.
Hardcore parking.
If anybody...
He parked a red Audi.
I will edit a little bit of our of this break.
Oh, and I think this is the best part. Just like parking. Just the sound of parking up to a curb.
Yeah. So I think we should be okay here for now. Yeah, so now you're back. So what's the plan now that you're back? I mean, you're gonna have to, you know, there's gotta be a bit of plan going down.
Yeah, so zipping and zapping with the UK, still tell you, I've got the show I did last year about my phone getting nicked and I'm getting all the
You did an Edinburgh show, did you?
Yeah, about it's called Grand Theft Demo, just so I could use the sort of Grand Theft Auto style.
Oh, Grand Theft Demo.
And so my phone was stolen for real, and then I was getting all their photos in my iCloud, you know, from the new owner.
Oh, no way!
Yeah. It was great, because it just fell into my hands. It was like, Sandra found it first, and it was all photos of dudes, like, with guns, and then, like, cash on a bed, and this guy's dick pics.
No way.
And at first you thought, who are these mad group of mates that Damien has that I don't know about, you know? And then... And I had a look, but I had the CCTV footage of my phone getting nicked. So I knew that the guy that had my phone now wasn't him, but I didn't know if they were connected.
Right, okay.
And then just from persistence, I just tracked down. Took her a year. But
you
through,
did?
Yeah, through clues. Oh, because he screenshotted his mate's Instagram because he was in the photo. So I used that name, typed that name that was in Instagram into Facebook, found her, went through her friends, found him, and then contacted him. But he didn't contact me back because he was like, shit. I've got his stolen phone. And so then there was a real standoff for months between me to sort of contacting him. But then he liked something you did on Instagram. So it was a whole long
story. So like something you did?
Yeah. So he was following me back.
And
I didn't even know. I was like, he was ignoring me going, oh, maybe he's just like an aloof guy or he doesn't use the phone or whatever. But then he was watching me the whole time because he was like liking my stuff, like just sort of egging me on or something.
Now you think he was egging you on or you think he was kind of into letting you know?
Maybe just like my photos.
Like no, but like, do you think he thought it was a bit of crack, or do you think it was like intimidation?
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe after meeting him, a bit of crack because he's a young guy, a bit of a space cadet, loves attention. Like he's in his early 20s, still sends dick pics, you know, that kind of guy. So the show ended up being the search for him, and then just before the Fringe last year, met him in person.
Like, oh, you did?
Arranged it a couple of times, met him, and then I was like, "What are you doing in August?" Because then you could be the end of the show. You come out and we do a Q&A about what you thought of my photos, what I thought of yours. Because when we met, he pieced together who I was through my pictures because he could see mine and I could see all his pictures. And I'm like, well, you just like sending your willy to Tinder dates. And he's like, well, yeah. So, I have more pictures of this guy's knob than I ever need.
So wait a minute. So he was still getting your iCloud pics?
Yeah. See, because I didn't, because people go, oh, just cut your iCloud and blah, blah, blah. I was like, no, because then I won't be able to track him down and find him.
Oh, so you, yeah, of course. You could have disconnected the phone from the iCloud.
But I'm like, no, that's my only lead to find out where this guy is.
Yes.
So, and I loved the show. I loved the whole, because who doesn't love a true crime?
Yeah, that is
comedy
cool.
Drama. And it went on for ages and Sam's like, you got to
drop
the fuck
it. And
I'm like,
that?
Too close to the kids.
Well, oh, because I wasn't in Edinburgh the year before last. So, because I was going to say, how was, that must have been a pretty big show.
Yeah, it was the most successful so far. 150 seat, it was packed every day, queues down the street, like every day it was
yeah,
packed, it was
that
great.
Is, a, dude, I had no idea, that is a great idea. So great. How was he then, on stage?
He loved it.
So he did the whole festival
much.
With you?
No, because Tom being Tom, he was
oh,
there.
Tom is the guy?
Tom's the guy. He got a job down the road in a restaurant, just so we could be in August for the month. So what a dude. But then... he would just be working. So the end of the show would be like, I'd tell him what was going on. And then we'd all go down to see him. I'd go, he's working down the road. And stay.
Oh, so he wouldn't get on stage with you?
No, the last, I mean, 10 he did, yeah. The last 10
right.
shows.
Okay.
So the first few. But then his mum came. So he hadn't seen his show and his mum came. And the show's pretty much, let's be honest, it's just a screenshot, like slideshow of his willies. And what he should have done to him. impress the girls.
Oh, so you're showing people his dick?
Yeah.
Well, was it impressive?
It's angry. He was angry looking.
His dick is angry looking?
Yeah. He used a flash. It's too much color. Anyway, I won't go into it. So a lot of the show was a lot of dick jokes, actually. But
yeah.
So I flashed it up, but then everyone's like, oh. Because then you realize that, because looking at a phone is one thing, but having it as 10 foot
very big, large penis on a screen.
So, and the show just sort of naturally progressed from me showing comics backstage, like, look at this guy's pictures, to like, guys, using him, going, does anyone recognize this guy? Like doing a slot, like doing a 20-minute sets with a projector, going, does it, look at this guy, look at his wheelie, does anyone recognize him? And then finding out more about him through that.
And now, so what was he like as a person?
Sound, like he's sort of a young party dude. He's cool.
Oh, so he wasn't connected to the theft?
No, and like, so yeah, we were still trying to figure out who it was, because he got the phone off his brother, and his brother got it off a guy that he didn't really know on a first name basis, and he doesn't know enough about the guy to look him on Facebook to find out if he knew. So we went back to the bar where we got it from and asked a few questions, but like, dead leads.
Yeah, and it didn't matter really, did it?
No, because we made a new friend, and yeah, it was great. So we filmed that show, and I put it up on my website, and then now I'm solving other people's cases. So that's just turned into a whole other new thing.
But that's just for you right now?
At the moment, it's just for me, and I'll just collect as much stuff as I can, and if it all works out, then...
Because to me... There's a TV station in the States now called True TV. It's the one that does Billy on the Street.
Oh, yeah, Billy on the Street.
But it was a great guy who I know from Edinburgh, would you believe, in fucking 2008. But that's neither here nor there. But they do a lot of, like, I think that would be good True TV. Because it's like, I guess it's real Dave, too, or something, right?
Yeah.
Maybe Dave.
Hopefully, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like, now how much sort of fishing around have you done for that?
Quite a bit. Put a few posts up, and then I've had a few people going, oh, I've got my phone. And I mean, a lot of the time you won't be getting dick pics, you won't be as lucky as that to get something as...
Yeah, I mean, you really did land on a perfect situation.
Yeah. But and then that's the trick, is getting the humor out of whatever. Because even if your phone's nicked, they can see your photos, so it's like going through their photos. Like tomorrow morning I'm flying to Edinburgh because Kat, who works at the stand, her phone was nicked, and then someone hacked into her Facebook. So now she's got to try out all this. So I'm flying there tomorrow just to meet up with her, and then we're just going to delve into it and see how much we can find out.
Wow, that is amazing.
But either way,
so then what did you do
so
with that
fun.
Show afterwards? You didn't do it in Ireland?
I did it in Whelan's, and then
because it'd be nice to bring Tom over to
I know because
Ireland.
That was the deal, but he just got a new job in a bank, and yeah, because I was going to fly him over for that, but there's talks of me doing touring it again, especially now that I'm still doing cases and things of, you know, so there's an updated version of that. So I think next year.
Yeah, man, damn! If you do it, we'll have you back on to promo the tour, because that would be interesting.
Yeah, nice one. And then all the new cases and what others, because there's everyone's phone gets lost or stolen, and there's a few stories. One went global when just before mine did, and people were sending me like Brother Orange. You know that guy was in New York. His phone was nicked. That ended up in China.
Oh, he's like famous now.
Yeah, mega famous, and like in good friends with
him. So actually, explain that story to me again, because somebody explained it to me. I don't know about it. I only heard about it secondhand.
So yeah, like a month after his phone was stolen, his name is Matt, and then he was getting photos on his new phone of a guy, just the Chinese guy, with photos of heaps of oranges behind him, like in an orange orchard or something.
Yeah.
And he was like, what is this guy with all the oranges?
So they were coming into his, same as you, coming into his iCloud.
Yeah. And so we went, I'm going to go find out. So he did a few bit of sniffing around WeChat. Yeah, in China. And then it went mantle over there, like people going, who is this guy? People were sharing the photos around, going, who's he? And they go, we know the guy, he works in an orange something.
So he
flew over just to meet him, but then when he lands, it was like paparazzi town. It was like he was a celebrity. Everyone was waiting for him to see.
Oh, because it went viral in China.
Yeah, and so everyone was waiting to see this guy. And then they all went to together with a team, and they went and met him, and they were great mates. And then they toured China together and did like opened up shopping malls and kind of stuff and all
so
that.
So does Tom feel like a little hard done by, that he's not as famous as
the difference between...
So which happened first?
Brother Orange.
Oh.
No, but that's cool because Brother Orange had the decency to not take photos of his junk. It wasn't Brother Orange's because of his big orange balls.
Yeah, but I think, you know, I think for a stand-up show, you got a better stand-up show out of
and
it.
And what I like about it is just the dirty underground of chasing down these cases and stuff.
Oh, that's cool. I hope that show gets another life. That sounds super interesting.
Yeah, cheers. And either way, But like Tom is such a mad buzzer. He just messed. We talk quite a lot on social media. Like he just messaged me the other day going, oh, I just moved to Spain. Like,
no way.
He's just such a, he just, but then like in 2 months he'd be like, oh, I've moved here now. Like he's just such a.
So he's like a friend now.
Yeah.
Your phone got robbed and you made a friend.
Yeah.
So your life has a lot of randomness in it.
Yeah, I sort of like that. Because it makes, if everything's different all the time, the differences, and it makes it, yeah, makes it interesting for me anyway.
So you've been married now since 2012.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you've been getting it a lot, but it's a personal question. But what's the plan for your personal life?
Oh, well, I got a kid due in January.
Get out of here.
Yeah, swear to God, yeah.
Oh, because I felt bad asking, because you never know if somebody's like in a situation.
Oh, yeah, no, because it was just, we haven't really, you know, we never, because we were, we were drunk for the last, like, you know, 14 years of our relationship. And we're like, guys, we have to grow up a bit.
Gotta get sober and get hard.
And when we moved back to Dublin, we went, well, now's a perfect time, to be honest. So, yeah. So it's all cool. Bun in the oven.
So January, you said?
January, yeah.
You know that's like 5-6 weeks away, yeah? you say January like it's ages away. It's like literally.
Yeah, it's, yeah, 6 weeks.
December 1st is Thursday.
Yeah, we've got 6 weeks.
Holy shit, congratulations. Six, I had no idea, man.
Cheers. Well, we haven't told.
Do you know if it's a boy or a girl? You didn't find out.
Boy, yeah.
Oh, you're getting a boy.
You little boy.
Oh, congrats. Oh, that's great. How old are you now?
39.
Oh,
39. I know, yeah.
A little late. I'm 41. I haven't even started yet. Oh, shit.
Ah, it's plenty of time, though. You got plenty of time.
Well, that's great for the material, man.
Oh, yeah. Everything's going to change. That's my first thought. I'm going to get a whole new hour out of this.
Fucking hour out of this. You know it.
An hour a year. When the kid can talk, he'll say something stupid. I'll get to say, you're right, by the way, what he said the other day.
You know it, man. Yeah. Dude, I'm getting material out of my friends and relations having kids, let alone fucking having one myself. I didn't even need to have one. I'm getting material out of it.
Writes itself. I'm having a joke writer.
Wow. So you, oh, man. But that's, you know, that's tough for the travel, though.
I know. So that's why it's good to have stuff like, especially with like solving phone crimes, if I can tie everything, if I go to the UK for a 2 week, 2 days, Friday, Saturday, something and back, which is our usual week, is 2 days on, I'll do maybe weekend UK, the rest in Ireland, you know.
Yeah, sure.
2 days on, 5 days off is pretty good. And then if I can jump that in, it's like, who's in Manchester who needs a stupid crime being solved? If I can do as much work in those 2 days, and then I've got the rest of the week to sort of, you know, this is the plan, because you're always working on other stuff. And then, so you just got to make it where I can work at home as well as travel less, because a lot of the work.
No, is Sandra still working?
She's 1 week left. 1 week left.
But does she have like a proper job that gives like benefits and stuff and maternity leave or?
No.
Oh man.
But if you're self-employed, you can apply for maternity leave if you've paid so much tax.
Oh, okay.
Which he has, so we've applied, so we'll wait and see. And yeah, I can get 2 weeks paternity.
You get two weeks.
Pew, pew, pew.
You get 2 weeks paternity.
Yeah, and as a comic, as you know, if we don't work, we don't get paid. So like any benefits is bang on, you know?
Yeah, no, I was only asking because, you know, do you guys own that place up there? I feel like you were there before.
Yeah, we were renting it before, then it went up for sale, and yeah, we bought it.
Yeah, because I was saying, I've dropped him here before. I was kind of weird that I was going back to that spot.
Yeah, you did drop me there before. Yeah, same spot. So we moved away. Someone else was renting it. Then we came back and moved back in.
But you purchased it.
Yeah.
Oh, congratulations.
It in like 5 years ago, whatever.
Oh, right. Oh, good timing.
I know, thank goodness.
Fair
I was like,
play.
Did I hear crash? Can I get a loan, please?
Oh, wow. Oh, no, because I was only asking because, like, having a kid now, I mean, obviously, things are picking up, but the cost of things is a lot in terms of living and stuff. But I guess you got a little lucky on that front.
Like, even like saying we moved out of London back to Dublin because the rent in London's expensive, people are like, but the rent in Dublin's mental as well, you know?
Yeah, so, yeah, yeah.
And it is.
It so is, yeah. But least, that kind of happened, yeah. That kind of happened.
At least I'm on the ladder. I'm on the property ladder. I mean, it's a step ladder. It's maybe just a step. Maybe it's just a couple of books stacked up. No, but it's, I'm in.
Yeah, but now you got it all ahead of you, bro. Schools and all that. You're going to have to get the kid baptized just to get into primary school.
All that good
stuff.
You're
going to do that?
Yeah, I think so. When I was baptized, you were probably baptized.
I was baptized. Were you baptized? Are you Catholic?
I think I was baptized Anglican, which is Rodsy.
Whoa. Eh? Jesus Christ.
Oh, sorry about that.
There goes the ticket sales, mate.
Straight down. But then, you know what? It's in Australia, everything's sort of diluted a little bit.
Ah, sure. Yeah. And then, of course, I'm only kidding.
I went to a couple of different churches. I guess we were like gypsies when it came to religion, I guess, because our family would every now and then we'd try a different one. So we were Anglican, Presbyterian, and Baptist, which is all sort of Protestant, and then Catholic for a bit, because to be honest, like, We didn't really notice much of a difference. But anyway, the Baptist I liked, because if you go to a Baptist church, or the ones that I did, and you know, you're a kid, so you get bored very easily. But we found, you know, when someone goes up and does a speech or testimonial or something like that, and then they just, or a poem, and then they just walk back to the pew in silence.
Yeah.
Because you're not allowed to clap.
Yeah.
Because then that would be exhilarating them instead of the Lord or whatever. But in Baptist church, you know, they clap because
yeah,
like,
they give it loads.
Or if someone goes up and sings a solo, and then, you know, say a Presbyterian church, for instance, they just walk back to the seat like they died in their ass, like no one's clapping. It was so awkward. So I just, any church like a gospel, I just want some church where you can
show
a bit of joy.
Yeah, but you're not going to get that here unless you go to like the Nigerian Pentecostal one.
Yeah, so that's what I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to go.
But that doesn't get you into primary school. You got to get him.
Yeah,
you got to get him baptized in a Catholic church. Just keeps your options open. I mean, they might change that in the meantime, but you might as well give yourself the options. For our non-Irish listeners, Irish public primary school education is public, but the majority of them are run by Catholic organizations, and they have a policy where Catholic kids come first. So a lot of people baptize their kid regardless of their beliefs, just to give them a chance to get in.
Yeah, and like,
just
to
so
be
people
honest,
know,
like how many people do how many times do you hear people mention their religion with lapsed in there? Before they say whatever religion they're in.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So you can get baptized. I mean, when you're 0 years old and you're getting baptized, it's not that they take a note of like, oh, I better remember what this water feels like because I'm going to...
So what's the story now? Are you an Irish citizen?
No,
or just like an Irish married to... Or you're a,
this week, I went to... Because I've been married like yonks or whatever and I've been living here for ages. Enough to be a citizen. And I looked through the paperwork and I went, you know what? I can't be arsed doing all that.
But what's your... You just have like a stamp, like a married...
You get a garter card? Which makes it feel good.
Yeah,
make it feel
immigrant
like a cop.
Card.
Yeah, immigrant. So if you're married to somebody, you get a garter card, so then you can just like zip and zap it out of the country.
And work here, no problem.
Work here, no problem. So I'm going to sit on that because I hate forms. Like that's my kryptonite to life. Filling this form, too, man. No.
Admin, can't deal with
Forget
it.
Forget about it. I think that's why people love, you know, zombies. That's a bit of a jump. But you know when people see, you know when you see like if the world's going to end, I think a zombie apocalypse is the way to go because that's life just back to basics. If you're hungry, go smash a window, get some food. There's no forms to fill out. I need a car, just steal a car.
So the actual people that are fighting to stay alive in The Walking Dead? Oh, you mean in the zombie apocalypse, the people that aren't zombies are living a more...
They're living the dream.
Yeah, they're living the dream.
You can hit this guy in the head with a shovel.
Yeah.
Because he's already
dead.
I don't
think you've been watching the current season of Walking Dead if you think that that is the ideal scenario.
Yeah, because usually it's the actual other humans that are worse than
Negan.
Zombies.
Yeah, but whatever. I'm a Walking Dead guy, but it's starting to annoy the shit out of me. But we won't get into that. That's like, you have to have like a Walking Dead podcast to get into that.
Yeah, man. I was reading the comics before I even knew that was going to be a thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And like the first episodes in the imagery was like bang on. But then they started bringing in characters that weren't in the comic and you're thinking, brilliant, more deaths, you know?
But now it's just, well.
But then it just sort of, there's bits and pieces.
Honestly, I've been thinking about starting to read the comics because I'm just running out of patience with finding out what's going on. Because basically what happens is every season, the first episode or two is really like amazing. Then they decide to have 8 seasons of just filler, and then 8 episodes of filler, and then 2 exciting episodes, and it's over.
Yeah, and I don't, because you don't want to fast forward through all of it.
Plus, they've been doing
this
split season thing. It's fucking bull. You know. Anyway,
yeah,
I'm not going to get into my frustrations with The Walking Dead.
Yeah, and it all came from me trying to be an Irish citizen.
How the fuck did he?
I apologize for that.
Well, you made the initial leap, in fairness.
That's true.
Because you don't like forms.
Yeah, like forms. Because, like, why can't everyone just be zombies so I can just live here without filling forms out, you know?
So, anyway, man, that's it. I mean, let's see how long we've been chatting. You know?
What have we got here?
Oh, 57 minutes and 30 seconds.
Nice one.
You know, I'm not going to lie. This is what happened. I might as well tell you the truth now that we're at the end of the chat.
Mm.
I asked you the other day, because I heard you were living back in Dublin due to podcast. And I had already organized to chat to Joanne McNally.
Oh, yeah.
And so I had organized to chat to her today, and then I talked to you in the meantime. And then I kind of, you know, I just kind of forgot that we hadn't done it. And then yesterday I was like, fuck, I never organized with Damo to chat. And then McNally canceled on me today. So when I text you, I was like, you happen to be around? And you were like, yeah. I was like, slam-o.
That's handy, because I was here anyway.
Just no, I do, dude. It's great, but what I mean is, thank God you're a talker. Oh, because right. I had no time to prepare.
Oh, no, that's cool. Well, like, you know me for so long that you
just... Yeah, I know. But at the same time, you know, like, sometimes I have a bit of an idea of, you know, of where I wanted to go. But for example, I had absolutely no idea that you did that show about losing your phone. So,
but isn't that good? Because then I get to explain it.
Yeah, I'm very grateful that we stumbled upon that.
Yeah.
You know?
And then oh, yeah, who knows next? Yeah, but yeah, we don't know. Yeah, we don't know. We don't know the next show, and we don't know how many cases that will...
No, I mean, I really hope that works out. It sounds super interesting. I mean, I guess you just have to rely on phone theft, which is a bit negative.
I know, but then that happens so often. And even if you lose it, we can just go and find it. Like, I thought I had a case number two when I lost my phone when I was out again. I'm like, it's happened again, it's been stolen. And for a week, I'm like, went back to Zaytoon's kebab place, was looking at their CCTV footage. I'm like, there I am.
Oh, it was robbed here?
Yeah.
Oh.
And then I was thinking, oh, we've got an Irish flavour. And then Sandra found it in the laundry basket. So I was like, oh, okay, that's not really much of a...
Sorry, this is another phone that you lost.
Yeah, but
you can just start depositing phones.
That's what I was thinking. Like, do you know what would be cool? And I was thinking of doing this, just buying a phone that has its iCloud and just engrave the back of it, just going, keep it connected to the iCloud, pass it around and see what photos come up.
That's another good idea.
And see what happens there.
Yeah, find out life
with
that way.
With a travel-y phone.
But then with Snapchat and everything, I don't know, it's almost like going to be obsolete.
Yeah, you can do
that
anyway.
I'm sure you could do something like that with like Snapchat accounts.
You like the random Snapchat phone.
Oh, dude. Whoa, I think we just stumbled upon a fucking idea. Dude, why don't you do that? Why don't you create put out a smartphone that has a Snapchat on and just go, this is a Snapchat account that gets passed around.
Yeah, do a few, pass it to your mate. Yeah. And see where it goes.
And see where it goes. See where it ends up in the world.
Oh, man.
Do it.
Yeah.
Dude, from me to you, man. We came up with that together, but it's yours.
Are you sure? Because one of us is going to have to buy a phone. You can have it.
Oh, man. That is a great idea.
Yeah. I'll see if I have
I mean, it's probably been done, but it doesn't matter. We came up with it.
Let's have a look.
I have an old...
That might even work.
I have an old... I think I have an old smartphone.
We could start it at a gig and go, who wants to be the first? Because then you've got a room full of people.
Fuck, but you're on the international tonight. I feel like doing it tonight.
Oh, yeah. Hang on, I could go.
I know, but I'm just trying to think. When we hang up. When we hang up this conversation, I'm going to call Aiden. Because I think there's an old smartphone in the house. What time's the international start?
Well, I'll be on it. Oh, it's called. I'll be on in like. We got in it about.
No,
an hour and a half.
All right. Well, let's see if we can do it, and then I'll let the podcast people know in my intro and outro to you, and we'll see where it goes from there. So, what a way to fit! What a moment of magic, perhaps.
It's up to whoever has the phone. We just had the idea, and then we'll just release it into the world.
Yeah. You know, and I think that the trick is to not pick a great phone, so that people won't go, oh.
Well, I've got a. Okay phone. It's an iPhone 4, but it's a bit slow, but it might work. That's the one that Tom bringing him back into it, because by the time I got my phone back, it was a year later, I already had a new phone, so I didn't need it anymore, but I still have it.
Oh, right.
So that could be the phone. It's been passed around. It's had dicks.
There's just one issue with it.
What's that?
Probably better to pick a 5, because it'll need to be charged from time to time.
That's true.
Technical issues.
Yeah.
Fuck, man.
Damn.
Shit. Technical issues.
Yeah. Do anyone have an iPhone 4 charger? Everyone's like, no.
Yeah.
It's not 1994 anymore, mate.
Yeah, because the 7 is the same charger. I'll find an old iPhone 5. And we're going to start a Snapchat and get it going. I like this, man.
Wait, what can we call it? Like, how do you search? Because I'm on Snapchat, but I'm still... How do you search for something if you don't have the exact name? So we should make up the name now, so at least whatever it ends up.
Oh, I guess we could call it like Damo Bish 2016.
Yeah, there'll be none others of them.
So Damo Bish 2016 is this Snapchat that we've created, and it's basically about the phone and seeing where it ends up in the world.
Yeah, it might end up in the two
people. And we'll both have the password so that you can save, because it's more for you, really. You can save the videos and pictures, and it might add to your...
Oh, that's right. We can put in the story.
Yeah. You can do that. Yeah.
Nice one.
Brilliant. So, oh, that'd be great. And then it'll be up to people. Listen, it's just up to people to engage.
Yeah.
And the hope then is that when somebody, you know, it'll end up in somebody's hand when they're going somewhere else, and then it ends up in another country, and you just fucking hope this phone makes it.
Yeah. Just makes it back around or somewhere.
So, oh, man. Well, I guess then because people can start engaging with it, and then the mission is to get it back. Yeah, we'll see how far it goes, and then at some stage you decide, no, it's time to bring it home.
Yeah, and then just like seeing reactions of like maybe an old man trying to get the princess effect and sparkling around him, or
yes,
for the first time ever.
Old guy struggling with filters. Wow, we might have to end this conversation because the bloody bin man is here.
Bin man's here.
I don't know if the bin man is going to be able to do it.
Oh, he's good.
Oh, good. Green Star.
Jeez, he's good.
Oh. Anyway, Damo, thanks, man.
Des, absolute
pleasure. I'll give you a report card on that in a sec. Thank you. So, thanks very much to Damo. Interesting chat. As far as the Snapchat thing goes, Damien has since started an account. The account is called Damo Bish 2016. It's up and running. And Damien is getting on the hunt for a phone. So we're going to see if we can get this phone to go all over the world. It might or might not work. It doesn't really matter. But more importantly, ladies and gentlemen, you should go to DamienClark.com because the show, Grand Theft Damo, is available to download for £3, which is a lot cheaper than it used to be. And also, Damien Clark Live, his new stand-up show, will be coming to his website for free very soon. He also has these great comic books, Edinburgh Fringe comic books, which are super fun. And he's got a lot of great things going on. Anyway, check out DamienClark.com. It's a great website. And his Twitter, at Damien Clark. Check his Twitter. And anyway, that's it. I have gigs this week in Hoth and in Tala tomorrow night, where there's like one ticket left. Hoth, there's tickets left on the Thursday. And Saturday, I'm in Clane, County Kildare, which is an extra date. So there are some tickets up for that. But I did the show there before in Clane. So if you saw the show and you're expecting a brand new show, it is still Grey Matters. Yeah, so the new show is 2017, One Day You'll Understand. New images up on my Facebook. And new TV show starts on Monday. So this might be the last podcast before my TV show comes out. It is called This Is Ireland. And episode one, we sort of give a quick sort of synopsis of Ireland since the election, the Irish government since the election. Talk a little bit about draining the swamp in America. And perhaps did we miss an opportunity to drain the bog in Ireland? We got a section about food allergies, particularly gluten intolerance. And actually, we're going to do a thing about the HPV vaccine because they talked about it on primetime. But we want to add a little bit to the scare around the HPV vaccine. We have an interview. I don't want to say the guest yet because our guest has definitely said he wants to do the show. We're hoping to get him for episode one, but he has not confirmed that he is doing episode one. So I don't want to tell you the guest yet. But anyway, check out the new show, This Is Ireland, on RT2 on Monday and next week. And we're filming it on Sunday. And if you want to be in the audience, check out my Facebook because there'll be some stuff about getting into the audience for those live shows. So, busy times and about to get busier, but I'll tell you all about that when I'm allowed to say it for the new year. So, anyway, a lot to announce very soon. So, enjoy the enjoy the week, and I'm gonna let you go. I always love that when you're on the phone. It's like, yeah, I'm gonna let you go, like it's you're the one that doesn't want to get off the phone. Like you're doing them a favor getting off the phone when really what you is you want to get off the phone. Hey, listen, let me let you go. Like, yeah, I'm sick of fucking talking to you. So there you go, there you go. That's the end of the podcast. We'll talk to you next week. Oh, next week's gonna be Joanne McNally. Joanne McNally next week, guys. And, yeah, okay. Bye. I love you. I love you. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.